You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Attention sports fans! Are you a fan of an NFL team? Would you love to attend your favorite team's Week 1 game? Well, you're in luck. Fans First Sports Network is giving away 4 free tickets to the Week 1 NFL game of your choice up to $5,000. The rules to enter are simple. Step 1, go to contest.fansfirstsports.com. That's contest.fansfirstsports.com and fill out the appropriate information. Step 2, find us on Facebook, Fans First Sports Network, and like our page. That's it. Once you've done that, you've officially been registered to win the 4 free tickets to any Week 1 NFL game. What are you waiting for? Go enter for your shot at seeing your favorite team in action. Contest ends on September 4th.
Hello and welcome to number 5 of the Top 25 Under 25 2023. And I'm here today and I'm really happy because I've been trying to contact this person for a couple of years, actually, I think. But now I had to work through some magic with different contacts in Slovakia. And it's Tomáš Prokop. Thank you for joining me, Tomáš.
Hi. I didn't know it that you tried to reach me, but I am now. I'm a little embarrassing that I didn't answer you earlier.
No, it's fine. I think we did speak at one point ages ago when Rewi was supposed to go to Slovan Bratislava. I started following you at that time because I realized you had a sharp mind and interest, which you didn't know that I had inside information, obviously. So, speaking about Rewi, you had a tweet about him yesterday, and this is recorded on the 1st of August, just so you know that it's about 3 weeks earlier than the podcast comes out.
Yeah. He signed with the new club, Liptovský Mikuláš in Slovak Extraligue. You know, it's a pity the whole his career. You know, when I remember, I don't know, you know, when he was first time injured, when he didn't play for 1 year, that he was some problem with the heart and these kind of things. I was speaking with I think Martin Lapointe. He was the head of the scouts in the Montreal in the past when I was speaking with him, and I asked him that if it's not a problem that he's not playing 1 year, and he said that no, because we love him. His backend is one of the best I ever seen in my life, and you know, from this reason, it's a shame, and you know, but everyone can speak for himself, and when you know it's a lot of off-ice thing and a lot of things for his childhood and these kind of things, he hasn't got the some authorities who can give him the right choices and right behavior and these kind of things. And from this reason, he's now still in Slovak League. And yes, I heard that last year in Spiska Nova Ves, he has some problems, but he still has a point per game, and he was doing on the ice on the you know, on the level of Slovak League. Great things, and you know, fans are writing that he has to go to national team and they have to take him to world championship, you know, but it's, you know, a lot of problems off the ice, and still he's carrying his baggage with him.
Yeah, I know, extremely talented player, extremely, and it's, you know, a shame that it didn't work out another way.
I would say that, for example, Peter Forsberg is the most talented player in the Sweden history, and injuries happened that he wasn't the biggest star. And for example, in Slovakia, when you said the biggest talent, you say Zsigmund Palfi and Martin Rewi, these two guys.
Yeah, and yeah, talent-wise, for sure. In Sweden, Forsberg is one of the three names you always mention anyway.
It's true.
Yeah, or four, I should say now, because Börje Salming is obviously the first. And then you got Nick Lidström, Sandin, and Forsberg. Funny though, Henrik Lundqvist might be getting there, but he's not there yet.
I have to say Forsberg because he was my most favorite player when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Peter Forsberg.
Amazing player, amazing person as well. Still plays hockey in the Swiss.
I heard somebody told me that he's playing some beer league in the Swiss.
Yeah. It's been on in the papers here. Fantastic. I remember after the, and we're going off topic directly. This is great, Tomáš. But I remember in I think it was the 2007 Rugby World Cup, and New Zealand got knocked out in the quarterfinals against France, and that was a little bit of a very big upset, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And one of the New Zealand players stayed in England with his family to travel and see the sights. And one night he was looking at a local rugby team playing, and he asked if he could join them. So he brought new shoes and played with them on practice the day after. And one of them said, you know, you can suit up for the B team. You cannot suit up for the A team, but you can suit up for the B team over the weekend. Do you want to do that? And he was like, yeah, that'd be fun. And the opposing team was like, that's one of the best players in the world in the B team. But everyone was just super happy about it because you're playing a legend and you never thought you would. And one of them said, he can't make a that much of a difference. We're 15 guys on the pitch. And then he was like, but he did. So if you have the skills, you always have it. We should not talk about all the other sports in the world. We should not talk about former prospects. We should talk about one of the best Slovak prospects in the country right now. And that's obviously Juraj Slafkovský at number 5. You had some very good insights to Juraj this half year since he'd been back in Slovakia. You had a great interview with him the other day for your Denik Sport, Daily Sport in English. What can you tell us about Juraj as a person?
I think he's now a little bit different, that he's not reaching media so often, you know, that it's hard to reach him by the phone or by the message or something like that. I understand it, that, you know, Montreal, they I think they tell him to not speak to media so often. And for us, it's now only chance to speak with him when he's doing some press conferences. And I have good relationship with his father. I was following the things with his father, that how it was with his injury, what he's doing, how it is, if he's skating, if he's go back to Slovakia. And I think he did the good thing that he's now focusing only on hockey, you know, that only on hockey and only to get better, you know. For everybody are saying that his first season was disappointment and these kind of things, and it's only 39 games or only, I don't know, 10 points. But you know, I am following him from, I think 15 years, when he was 15 years old. And you know, great thing about him is that when he's going to one step further, it's little bit time for him to adapt, but when he adapt, he's okay with it, and he's very good. And I from this reason, I hope and I think that he will be better in NHL, that now he understands what he needs, that he needs to get from the puck earlier, he needs to have a head up, he needs to have his first three steps quicker and these kind of things. And I think he was working on it. You heard that some things that he was working on his quickness. He's lost some weight. He's working with some special glasses for the controlling the puck. He was working for his lungs capacity, because doctor said him that he needs to have bigger lung capacity when he wants to be quicker on the skates. I hope that not only me, but the fans will see that improvement about his game and about his everything. You know, still when I'm remembering, you know, that Montreal and the fans and the pressure and all the young guys in the team, not so good veterans or not so great veterans, that they can take some things from them. It was hard for him. It was hard. I don't want to apologize him that he had to have better season, but still, I think this experience and lesson will be good for him in the future.
You mentioned also being able to always move up that level. It takes a little bit of time. We saw that his last year in Finland as well, because pre-Olympics he was on under 20s and a little bit on the third line for TPS. But then he was put in a line to succeed in the Olympics by the Slovak coach, and fantastic Olympic tournament. You must have been, you know, over the moon. And then, you know, coming back to Finland, he definitely took a bigger spot on TPS. He knew what he had to do. etc., and built from there. It's really impressive. And I think that when we look at Slabkovský this year, he started out on the fourth line, getting adjusted, moving up to the third, getting a few shifts here and there with you know, Kirby Dach or Nick Suzuki. They weren't rushing him. In some ways, you could say you wanted him to go on the first line and have an opportunity to succeed, which is a good way of thinking. But this was the other way of good development. We're not going to rush you. We're not going to put that extra pressure on you to go out there and be the man for the power play or drive play together with Suzuki and Caulfield. But they didn't rush him. I would have preferred him maybe to get a few games in the AHL. Yeah. But I think the injury stopped that.
Yeah.
And that was in some way, unfortunately, but as you mentioned as well, with, you know, putting that extra effort in off the ice, getting his finalizing his degree, and then also working extra on his VO max and strobe lightning in order to control the puck better, et cetera, et cetera. I think that might have benefited him because he had a very long season last year, and now he's getting a long off season to catch up.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, still, you can speak about an NHL. You can speak about the things, what you have to do to the NHL, what you have to practice for an NHL. But when you don't play in an NHL, you don't know how it is. You know, everybody said that maybe he was playing only fourth line and 9 minutes games or 10 minutes games. But he was playing in an NHL. He now has the experience, what he has to achieve to be good in this highest level. And you great meaning the TPS. I was speaking with him. He said to me that when I wasn't be a best scorer in Olympics, they put me in the juniors in TPS because TPS was, you know, it was a championship team. Mm-hmm. They played the typical Finland, you know, defensive game. What is not so good for the offensive mind players and young players, but it was great experience for him that when you want to play, you have to play everything right on the backside of the ice, and then you can play in the offensive zone. And still, for him, it was a great thing that Craig Ramsey is in a Slovak national team. You know, I know that he wasn't the head coach in an NHL, but he was working 40 years on.
He's respected.
And yeah, he's respected. He's a, you know, he's a teacher of hockey. He's not, you like a teacher, I understand it. But he's a teacher of hockey. He's not best game decision coach, you know, when it's game playing and you have to change lines or you have to play for three lines or something like that. This is not his strongest thing, but his biggest strength is to teach the system, teach the playing the right way, and teach the mentality for the Slovak players to be, you know, our players, when we have, in the past, I don't know that I'm going off topic, but you know, you don't have so many talents, you know, and they, when they play against Finns, Sweden, Canada, they're afraid, you know, they're afraid that they don't have a chance. But Craig Ramsey changed this, that you can play with everyone. And now it's better for the juniors. And this, I think, helped Juraj Slafkovský, Šimon Nemec, and another young guys.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And Slovakia is coming up maybe a little bit faster in regards to development than Czechia is, because maybe of that, because of especially, I think, is also Slovan going back to Extraliga and not playing in KHL and vacuum clean up all the talents and put in their system. Now they get to play quite heavy minutes. We saw it with Mešar, we saw it with the Nemec, we saw it with the, well, Slafkovský was not the country, obviously, but they got the opportunity to play. And I think that is really important, because you can't just play under 20 or under 18 hockey. And you need to, as you mentioned with Juraj in NHL, you need to play there to understand what you need to do.
Yeah. And, you know, now is hockey. You are the fan of the hockey longer than me. And you know how it was, I don't know, 20 years ago, that all the team has 35 years old guys, and now is hockey so much younger, you know. Now you have to be ready in 18. When you are not ready 19, 20, it can happen that you will go to NHL, because NHL needs the players for third or fourth line who are not taking so much money. But now you have to be ready earlier. You see it in Sweden that how many talents you have and how many players you have to develop, you know, 17 years, 18 years old. And then, you know, it's hard. I was all the time I was thinking about it, that if it will be for the Slavkovský better to start the first season in AHL in the minors. But I understand from the PR side and from the side, you have a number one pick. You are Montreal Canadiens and your number one pick starting in an AHL. I think fans will rip your heart or something like that. It's very difficult and different when you are first choice. When you are second one, it's not so. But when you are first, everybody are comparing you with the best one, like Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid and Connor Bedard and all the best players. And for this reason, it's, I think, very hard to start them in the minors.
You mentioned, you know, starting in the minors and pressure and media pressure. We saw in his draft year, Olympics, World Championships, before the draft and at the draft, Juraj Slavkovský being very funny, engaging, open-minded. Do you think the pressure of playing in Montreal and the medias, which I'm part of, obviously, pushes him down a little bit to be more introvert or maybe not as outspoken?
You know, when I am with him, he's still outspoken. He's still doing some funny things he wants to, you know, like we have one great joke. We have now was doing some video content for our website, and we call it after it. He said that one of the greatest quotes in Slovak history was when he was on the Olympic Games. And he said that when he scored a lot of goals, he said that he's scoring goals from the buffet or from the restaurant. It's a good goal is buffet. It's called in Slovaks. And Šimo Nemec told him this after one game that it's crazy. You are scoring goals from the buffet or something like that. And from this reason, when I speak with him and when we speak with him, he's still something like open-minded. But I think that when he was in Montreal, you know, and Montreal has a big PR team and big, I think he has a lot of practices of the eyes, how to speak with media, what he can say about him, what he can say to media. I think he's now he's not down, but he's now more thinking that what he can speak and what he have to speak. But, you know, still he's in the Slovak. I think he say more, you know, he say more because he's more comfortable, you know, in Slovakia, like in the overseas media that maybe he knows us. A lot of us knows us from 15 or 16 years old, you know, when he was World Championship, Olympic Games, maybe he trusts us more or something like that.
Looking back, though, do you think it was a failed season for Juraj?
Nah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. I think that it can be better. And for me, it's a good thing that he understands it, that his season has to be better. And he can't say that it was only the rookie season and these kind of things. But, you know, it was pitied because when he injured, he started to playing better. You know, he don't have so many points, but you are following every game. Yeah. When you saw him in the games, he was doing better things with the puck. He can get a puck. He can more control his body and play more physical. This is another thing. He was the guy who was all the time want to do some stuff with the puck. And he has a big body. And in NHL, it's a normal thing that they want to put him to power forward position because from this body he can't play like I don't know the small guys like Johnny Hockey or something like that. And this is another developing thing for him to understand to use his body more.
Obviously he's a big guy, but from what I've understood and you met him just a couple of days ago, it seems like he's worked very smartly this offseason, building up his core muscles in order to strengthen his balance, strengthen his positioning in receiving tackles and giving tackles. Is that something you know he's worked on, or is that just something that looks like he's been working on it?
I think he's working on it from the whole season. I know that in Montreal, when I was with him in Chicago in November, because I was like a co-author of Marian Hossa biography, I was when his jersey was rising up. in the Chicago, and the Montreal was playing there, and I was there with Juraj, and I know that this is the thing that I think Adam Nicolas, he's the skill coach, or
yeah,
his skill coach in Montreal. I think that he's working on this special, in these things that he has to have his head up, and he has to give a tackle and get a tackle, and these kind of things how to adapt on this game. That, you know, I think that it was big school for him that NHL is so fast, and you know, you can play only 8 minutes, but they can give you four or five tackles in the, I don't know, 2-3 minutes. And it's hard for the young guy to understand these kind of things. I think he was working on it. I am a little bit worried that the break was so long, that 8 months, you know, 8 months without hockey in 19 years old. I know that you said the right thing, that his season before was so long, you know, that he was on the World Championship, under 20 before it, Olympics, and but 8 months is a little bit long. This is the only thing that I am a little bit afraid of, how to go back on track.
This is a service announcement. Please lower your sound levels as we're going to go to a commercial break. You might need to do this even if you're in the London Underground. Just leave the sound level a little bit higher so you hear when we get back into the conversation with Thomas.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
And we'll return to the podcast about Juraj Slavkovský with Tomáš Poprov with Denek Sport just now.
We mentioned what his weaknesses are and how he's working on it, but where do you see his strength really? Especially, you know, you as you mentioned, and I forgot to introduce you in that regard as well, we actually speaking with Tomáš Prokop, who co-authored Martin Hosa's biography, which is just insane when you think about it. I'm super stoked. It's available in English as well, right, Tomáš?
Yeah. In English, the main author is Scott Powers, my good friend from The Athletic. He was doing the English one, and I was doing the Slovak one. It's a little bit, it's longer, and it's a little bit different because, you know, for the American audience, it's all about the NHL. And we speak more with the parents and with how he was grew up and how it was in the national team. It's one of the craziest thing in our hockey history is that Marian Hossa hasn't have one medal from the big tournament. It's crazy.
Well, he was always in the playoffs. That's the reason.
It's true. And he was, you know, he was two times on the fourth, you know, 2004 in Czechs. I think it was maybe the strongest Slovak national team, but the referees give us the one because it was a foul on our goalie, and Canada scores always, like Canada scores like this.
This is how European talks, just so you know.
And the second one was in the Vancouver Olympics. It was a great game when we lose in semifinals, and then we lose the third period with our nemesis Finland. You know, our nemesis is not Czechs. Our nemesis is Finland.
Going back to the question, though, is we've spoken about what he's working on, but where do you see Juraj Slavkovský's strengths?
I still think he's shot. He has to shot more. You know, he has a great shot. He has a great shot because he has a power in his shot. He has to shot more. This is the thing. I still think that I don't want to say, you know, everybody are asking me that if he will be star in an NHL and that's kind of, I said that I never we'll be speaking about prospects that who can be stars, because it's, you know, so many things and so many things can happen, but still I think that he can be a 30 goals scorer in an NHL season because he has a shot, but he has to be faster to go on his skates. But his shot, I think, is NHL ready, and his shot is for me still the greatest thing about him is his shot.
he joked a little bit before the draft that, you know, there was an opening open position next to Suzuki and with Cole Caulfield, who also has a great shot. Let's be honest about that. That's not a secret either. So, but what kind of center do you think Juraj needs? Does he need maybe the bigger center in a way, like Kirby Dack, or the, this maybe the skilled center? Kirby Dack is super skilled as well, but Nick Suzuki might be a little bit more skilled when it comes to offensive output.
I think the skill one, but you know, he has to be faster on the skates. You know, when you want to play, when you want to play with Suzuki and Caulfield, you have to be fast. You know, you have to be fast because they are fast and they are great skill guys. And I still hope that he will be the right answer for them, because one big body for the line, it will be great before the net, in front of the net. And for me, I think the Suzuki will be the answer. That, but he has to be on the level of the quickness.
And how far away do you think that level of quickness is? Because you have to have the sharp mind as well. It's not just the skates. You have to think hockey like they do.
Yeah, it's true. Everything is about fast in NHL. But when you remember, Vegas Golden Knights won the cup, and Mark Stone was one of the best players. And when he, I don't want to say, but when I was younger, maybe I was skating like him too fast. I want to say it's you know, it's not true, but his skating is funny when you compare it with the average player in NHL. But he understands the game so right that he can play with the quickest players. And this, I think, help Juraj to when he understand everything about NHL level, what he has to do, what he has to improve, what Martin St. Louis want from him. This will be okay, because he said to me that his big challenge was for him to know when is Marty playing some mental games with him. You know, this is the coaches from NHL. I know that Marty is a younger coach and he's the player coach, how they said it, that he comes from this environment, but he's still playing some mind games, you know. And this is tougher for young players to understand when his coach want to tell them something in the puzzles.
Yeah, but you mentioned Craig Ramsey being a player's coach and being a teacher of hockey. The impression that we have in Montreal is that Martin St. Louis is the same kind of coach, but as you also say, he wants to challenge the players to think and to solve the puzzle. Do you think Juraj has a better confidence in himself solving those puzzles this year when he knows Marty a little bit better?
I know that a lot of I was checking this discussions. A lot of fans are doing jokes that he said that he wants to have and he will have better season, like the rookie season. And they said it's not tough when he also has 10 points early and this kind of thing. But for me, it's good when your mindset is like this, you know, that you want to improve and you want to not only that you have 10 points and then you will have 15 points. I think his goal is bigger and he knows what are the expectations. I think his mindset was good. He is self-confident. I know that he maybe after the injury it wasn't so it was tough for him. But he said that things was okay for him, that it was few players who was injured, that he saw another players that can injure too and have to do off work stuff and it's not to go on the skates. But I think he will be ready and it will be better. I think it will be better. And I have to tell you one thing. When I was in Chicago, I was still checking because they lose with Belegas, and Marty St. Louis was speaking with the beat writers. And I was still wondering how I can ask him about Slavkovsky to not piss him off. And I said, I have to think about some jokes. And I go to him and I say, hi, coach, Craig Ramsey say hello. And Marty said, oh, Craig Ramsey said hello. And he was open-minded and he gave me 2 minutes and he was great, you know. And from this reason, I think it can help that he knows that Juraj was growing up with the Craig Ramsey in the national team. And now he's in the Montreal. And, you know, Seasoning Angel is so quick. It's hard to, when you, it's game. It's hard for the young player to understand everything in a one season. I think it helped him that now he has more time for him to think about it and think about the games, what he can do better.
Yeah, we used to say that NHL is not a development league in that regard, and because their game travel to the next game, a new game, etc., and it keeps on rolling like that, which also means that it's very difficult for you to maybe build up that extra work that you can do maybe in the Czech Extraliga, where you're home after 2 hours of a game, or in Sweden, same thing, in Switzerland, even faster. Yeah. So you can maybe build up your physique and conditioning in many ways. So in that regard, maybe the 8 months off or 6 months off will be beneficial, sure, because you can recover, or you can recuperate, and you can build up maybe more intense to survive that extra bit of physical play in NHL. But also, do you think it was important for him to go back to Slovakia in order to develop and recuperate and get ready for this season, rather than maybe stay with Adam Nicholas in Montreal and having all the media surrounding him? Because right now, not a lot of media has been able to get hold of him.
Yeah, this is true. I think this is the, you said it right. This is the thing that when he stays in Montreal, the Canadiens beat writer will be asking about him, you know, every time, what he's doing, how he's doing, and when they saw him in a practice facilities and these kind of things. I think from this reason, was better for him to go home. And I think he has good couches back home, and he was doing the right things. And now when we are speaking, I think he's already, or he's flying, or he's already in the Montreal, and you know, he's still be there 3 or 4 weeks before the main camp, and they can still working on some things. And it's a good question. I didn't think about it like this, but now when I'm thinking about it, when he will be in the small market, maybe he will stay longer. But when he's on a bigger market like Montreal, maybe they said it, go home and work there in the silence and in your environment, not with all of the media and all of the coverage of the team, because you know the team was not so good, and they don't have so many stories. They have stories only about the young players, you know, and Slavkovský still be the one of the main one.
We're here with Tomáš Prokop from Denik Sport. You find him at Twitter or whatever it's called this week, because I don't know, it might be X, it might be Y, it might be Z, or it might be an elephant. You find him there at Levi School. I'll be sure to link that in the podcast description. He's writing for Denik Sport, the daily sports paper in Slovakia, yeah, it's a really, really interesting conversation. And just a little bit towards the end now, what kind of expectations do you, Slovakia, and what kind of expectations should Montreal fans have on Slavkovský this year?
I think the expectations has to be that he has to have more points, for example. I don't want to say exactly, but I don't know when he will be playing a whole season. I don't know, 40, 45 points. I am seeing it will be on the bottom, that maybe in the every second game he gets some points. And I think that everybody has to have expectation that he will be better, and he will be playing that not so many fans can still saying the bad things about him. This will be the greatest, you know, not to say that he's a star and he can be, I don't know, like a Connor Bedard or something like that. But when the fans see his improvement, that he can find a better way to play on the NHL level and find a better way to play in Montreal and to get a better results for the clubs. I think the club is still in the rebuild. I don't think that they will be playing playoffs. Maybe they will, but now I think that he will be fine. Maybe after the season you will send me that it's not true and this kind of thing. But I think he will be fine. I'm believer about him, and when I was speaking with him, how he was mindset is, and I was speaking about what he has to do and how he has to groove in the player, what the expectations are. I think he will be fine.
Yeah, I think all of us are very supportive of Juraj Slafkovský. We all want, obviously we support the team, so obviously we want to him to succeed, but it's good to hear that you know, you have those kind of interactions with him, and you can see him in the eyes when he says it, and that means something. For me, what I would be looking at is probably time on ice and usage, you know, on which line he will be used, and it doesn't have to be the same line all through. He can move up or down depending on situations. I would love to see him a little bit on the power play, though. It would be
power play.
Maybe get those easy goals.
and I hope that the season will be healthier for the whole Canadiens. You know, because they were young and they were injured. You know, these the two worst thing what you can have for the rebuild team.
Final question, and I'm gonna squeeze this one in just because I'm gonna put you on the spot. There has been talk about a disappointing season for another Slovak prospect, and that is obviously. God, I have to edit this out. Filip Mešár.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Filip from your insights in Slovak hockey?
I was with him last week. We sit a long time with, because he's working with the Šimon Nemec. They are working together in Liptovský Mikuláš. I think it's very good for him that he see Šimon who succeed on the higher level. And I was speaking, Šimon was speaking a lot of things about him, that he see that he grew up. And for him was good that he was playing in the overseas this 1 year, but you know, the Kitchener wasn't so good like a team, you know, and I didn't see so many games. I have to give a credit my colleague Matej Deraj, who is the our guy for the prospects, and he's following everything. And he said to me every time that you have to see the games, that he hasn't get the points, but he has a lot of chances. You know, he has a lot of chances, and maybe that his teammates not scored, and they still haven't been figuring out if he's center or he's forward for the highest level. And it was maybe a little bit disappointment, but I think that the learning to play in overseas on this level and how it is on the smaller ice, it will be okay for him. And I think in AHL, he will develop the another year for him, because he used to play with the men's. He a year ago in Poprad, he was the best player in the playoffs, the first series in the first round. He was great. He was flying on the ice. He was so great. And then Šimon Nemec injured him. It's the crazy thing that one of they are maybe the best friends, all three of them with Juraj, and Šimon injured the Filip in the playoff games. Now this you see that how competitive they are. They don't care that his friend is on the other side. And he hasn't got luck when he injured like this, and his season was so good in juniors that he didn't develop under Craig Ramsey. He played only one tournament under Craig Ramsey in the German Cup 1 year ago, but he wasn't on the World Championship or the Olympics, although Juraj and Šimon was. From this reason, he's maybe a little bit slower for him to develop it. But when I saw him, he's bigger on the upper side body. He's bigger on the upper side body because they said him that he has to play more physical hockey. And he's doing great on the practices. Šimon was doing jokes with him that he's the best in the practice. That he's the best, only best in the practice. You know, they're doing jokes to each other. And and they're great friends because they know each other from 10 or 11 years old. But it's good for him that he saw the Šimon and he's speaking with Šimon in all the things. Because Šimon Nemec is a guy, they are all these junior players or the 90 years old player on his generation saying about him that he's like a father of them, that he's like a father, that when they are going to party, he's sitting at home and he's only maybe drinking one beer or something like that. He's like a father, that his mind is older like for them. I think this is good for Filip. And also I think I'm interested about this step in the right direction in AHL. And from the Montreal said him that if he has a very good camp in the Canadiens, maybe they give him a chance in a season for a few games in AHL. But I still think that his main focus is in the minors and play good for the Laval.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Thomas. It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope I can force you to join the podcast another day again. And now, please go back to your kids. And thank you for taking time out of your day to join us for this podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for the invitation. And I hope that we, all of us, will have a smile after the season, because it will be good for all of us when the URI will have a good season.